Shouldn't be. No way. Last night was just like too many other nights this year. Just sloppy and very dispiriting and too many excuses postgame. Get back to these calls. Mets, good win. See, to me, I mean, I can't prove this, but I almost feel like, let's say the Mets come out last night and they blast the Angels 9-1. And like Senga's dominant, he was terrible. But I'm saying in this alternate universe that I'm about to present to you for a moment to prove a point, a possible point. They win 9-1, Senga deals, you know, go six, he's efficient, bullpen lockdown, you know, maybe Lindor busts out. He has been a mess. You know, Soto with a couple of knocks, bottom third of the order gets loose, and the Mets just pummel a bad team. Like, I almost think that the way they won last night would be more of a springboard to galvanize this team than coming out and just rolling a team that's probably fairly disinterested and 3,000 miles away from their home last night. I think that's the kind of win, maybe, because other things still need to happen. Trade deadline, of course, we hit that yesterday. But other things need to happen. I'm fully aware of that, and I'll tell you what in a minute. And I want to get into something that Stern said, but I just think that that's a unifying kind of win. I mean, you start to hear the murmurs, the boos, and you know the top of the order doing nothing, and Senga was just a mess, and you know there's just things that were again creeping into the picture that was kind of making it a little ugly out there in Queens. And then, yeah, what do you know? I thought Beatty's play where he jumped up and he snared that ball and played the plate. Alvarez, good tag, boom. I thought that was kind of hidden in some of the offense that happened later in the game. So a good win, there's no doubt. And we'll see what this does for the Mets here. But, you know, David Stearns, who, and we'll play this for you in a minute, I think that I don't love what I heard from him, but I also understand he's not going to divulge state secrets here. Like, you know, I know we want more. And Cashman actually did say last week, he's like, basically, we're going for it. I mean, full bore, gung-ho. We are taking a massive swing. It's pretty much what he said, where Stearns was very close to the vest and, you know, didn't conceal a whole lot. I mean, he would barely even grant you center field. He said, yeah, the production, not quite what you want, but then he talked about the defense and some other stuff here. So there's no way that David Stearns can look at this team, right, can look at this team and not understand there is a massive need, as I've said for a long time, for a bat. The bullpen stuff is obvious, but I want to play this for you, and then I want to tell you one mistake that Stearns has to avoid. Go ahead, guys.
David, you mentioned the offense in center field, but overall the depth of the lineup hasn't probably been as productive as you'd hoped over the last month or so. Is that something that you think can be fixed internally, or is that something that needs to be addressed as well?
So I might push back on that a little bit. I actually think the depth of our lineup over the last couple of weeks has been pretty good. We're turning the lineup over pretty nicely, I think. We have guys at the bottom of our lineup who are extending at bats, seeing pitches. I think the fair critique is we haven't scored runs. We've taken pretty good bats. We're getting guys on base, and we haven't scored runs. And that goes back to a theme that we've talked about a lot here, which is getting those hits and executing with runners in scoring position, which has been a challenge for us all year. I don't have the answer for that. I wish I did. We'd have solved it. But I actually think that the length of our lineup has been pretty good over the last, say, 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, so this leads me to push it forward and the thing that Stearns has to avoid. And based on what he's saying, again, I know he's not going to divulge too much, so I'm not going to hang literally on every word, obviously. But if that's most of what he's believing, like if he's just not playing coy, whatever, I think he's in for a massive, massive mistake here. Because when you talk about the bottom of the lineup and the Taylors, you know, and Beatty's definitely shown some signs, and Alvarez is back, and he's certainly a guy, young player, that could get hot and could do some real damage. We've seen it. 25 home runs already 1 year. Acuna, you know, Winker eventually is going to be back. Marte, I guess he's not a very fast healer. But, see, I just think it is way too risky for David Stearns to believe what he just told you right there. It's one thing to say it. That's okay. but to believe it. Like David Stearns gets in his car last night, leaves Citi Field, drives, you know, I'm sure to a nice little mansion at this point, wherever he's living, probably out east, and probably next to Boomer. And he, you know, he's thinking and he's believing what he said. I think that the Mets are dead. Then the Mets will not win. They will not, even with two good bullpen arms, the offense is not good enough. You cannot rely on, like, so many variables to come to fruition and pop. Like, it's one thing if you've got a lineup that's just locked and loaded and there's, like, one spot, one young player, and you're going to trust him because you believe in him enough. And even if he doesn't hit it up, there's enough defense and there's enough other offense around him to shield him. There is not enough offense around these guys to shield them. I mean, when Lindor doesn't hit, and he has not hit for a minute, I mean, at this point, you have to, is it the toe? I mean, I kind of pushed that aside pretty fast, but it's been so long, and it's really kind of connected to when he broke his toe. I mean, it's hard not to be fair to the guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I mean, if you hurt, you shouldn't play. If you hurt to that extent. But, you know, Soto has not had an amazingly vintage season. He's had a phenomenal month. That's it. McNeil, resurgent. But you just never know what version you're getting from McNeil. Same with Nimmo. Come on, we've talked about this forever. If I say to you, the Mets' mission right now, and it is, this is rhetorically stated, is the Mets' mission, or asked, is the Mets' mission this year to win a World Series? And the answer is yes. Payroll, Soto, Lindor Prime, Manaea contract status, Senga contract status, Diaz contract status, Nimmo age contract status, all the things we know. Is this a World Series lineup? The answer is unequivocally no. You need to yell about that. Not good enough. So to me, if Stearns really believes that, he is setting himself up to be less than when it matters. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fence. Sal is off. He's off all week. Let's get back to the calls here. Obviously, the Yankee stuff, first hour. Now the Mets stuff is on the table. Jay's in Neptune on the fan. What's cooking, Jay?
Hey, listen, BT, thanks for taking the call. Love the show.
My pleasure. Thanks,
Jay. I'm a lifelong Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, Phil Rizzuto was my neighbor.
Wow. Wow, I miss him. I loved him. Yep.
I got tons of stories I could say, but for the purpose of time here, I'm a huge radio junkie, always have been since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And while I watch Yes and in the Yankee game, I also in the background have, you know, the radio on, and the only one that's telling the scoop on this whole Yankee team, that's why I turn off Boone, is Susan Wolman. She was saying last night from the get-go, and I can't tell you how many times she's enumerated it,
yep,
that the Yankee left side of the infield has been an issue from day one. And I mean, she pounded it last night. And, you know, that's why I love her, because she tells it like it is. I can't listen to Boone. That's about all I've had to say. You're right on it. You hit the nail on the head, and it has just infuriated me. Thanks for taking the call.
No, Jay, you got it, buddy. Yeah, funny, I had the broadcast on a little bit as well. I was in the basement. I was trying to do some stuff, and my TV wouldn't work. One of the TVs in the basement, and I'm like, and where I was, whatever. So I listened to the game for a while when I was doing what I was doing. And that's no surprise. Susan's always going to keep it real. That's why we love having her on the show. Maybe we'll get Susan on this week, Huff. Maybe we'll reach out to Susan. There you go. It's been a little bit. I was texting her about 2 weeks ago about something. She's a straight shooter. You know, when you've been in that job for a long time, like Sterling last year, he's basically saying the runners are drunk. I mean, the lack of tolerance and acceptance for just substandard play. Why are you going to lie? Why are you going to try to deceive us? Come on, Susan's got no reason to do that. You know, what, are the Yankees going to fire her if she's too honest? Stop. So I get the same thing from her that you got. And she wears it. She lives it. Like, you could tell when Dave's calling a home run or a double, you know, you hear the groans and they're audible. Like, oh man, you know, you could just tell that she's not happy. She's a Yankee fan. You know, she knows the left side's a disaster right now. There's no doubt about it. Let me get Scott down to Port St. Lucie. Scott, what's going on, bud?
What's up, E.T.? Big fan.
I'm good. Thank you. What's happening, man?
Real quick, with the Yankees, I'm a big Mets fan, but for years the Mets always hyped their prospects, and they never amounted to anything. Now I feel like the Yankees are doing that. I mean, you saw from the beginning, you got Frazier, you got Gary Sanchez, you got
We know Flavor, them all. I know.
And you know what? For years, you remember the year when DeGrom was becoming a free agent? The Mets were trying to make a trade with the Yankees. And the Yankees would not take DeGrom for, like, Andujar and Torres. And it's just, I think if the old man was alive, this would not be happening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little tired, quite frankly, just of the old man references. I get it, Scott.
I know what I'm saying. It's a new guy. I totally understand.
I mean, it's not like George died last year, Scott. That's all I'm saying. And I get it. It's a point of reference. I'm not coming at you at all. I appreciate what you're saying because you're right. I mean, if George was, you know, still young and virile and, you know, nutty George when he wasn't suspended, hey, there's a lot of things that go down that wouldn't be going down. That's obvious. But, you know, it's 2025. He didn't die last year. Been a long time, unfortunately. So, a little desensitized to some of the stuff, but that doesn't mean that we have to accept it forever. And last night was a breaking point for me. You know, if you listen to the show, if you follow me on social media, I'm definitely supportive of Aaron Boone, and I still am, but don't lie to us. Let it rip once in a while. And I thought last night was too far in a direction that is not emblematic or reflective of what's going on right now with his team's defense. Specifically, the left side. Even the other night with Vivas, take it up from third. Got to pull him out. Bench him. That's what I would do. And I just don't want to hear some of the stuff anymore. I just don't want to. Let me get Butch down in Myrtle Beach. Hey, Butch, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, BT?
All good. What you got?
Question for you. Do you think David Stearns is kind of not showing his cards? You know he has to increase the lineup and get more productivity. But do you think he's not trying to sound too desperate going into the trade deadline?
I think there's always an element of that. Absolutely. Now, I don't really think that it does much. Listen, Butch, business 101. The last time to strike a deal is when everybody knows that you got to strike a deal. You have zero leverage. It evaporates immediately. So I understand that. That's a good question. Of course, I think he's playing possum a little bit, but I don't think it has any effect. Because everybody we're sitting here on the radio telling you for months what the Yankees need, what the Mets need, what this team might do, which team might trade, which team might sell. So you don't think actual people who do it for a living understand the holes on the Mets roster and understand where they are payroll-wise and, you know, trying to build off last year and their quest for a championship, first time since 86? Of course. It's not breaking news. Wow. The Mets need some bullpen arms. Oh, my God. What a stunner. I will tell you one thing, and this is not a knock. This is just an observation. It's just a very truthful observation. So I'm listening to Stearns last night. Remember yesterday we discussed what kind of grade we would give him. I don't even know how it came up, but some of the callers were less kind than me. Like, I think it's unfair because a lot of the people that point to the Mets' success with Stearns, they're like, well, you know, he didn't get Soto. That was Cohen. Well, he didn't get Lindor. That was Cohen. Well, he didn't get Pete, re-sign. I was Cohen and Boris, whatever. I get it, but he did bring in Manaea, and without Manaea, not a playoff team a year ago, and he did bring in Iglesias on a minor league deal, and without Iglesias, you're not a playoff team last year. So, you got to be fair. So, my grade's a little bit higher, but I could already see it coming. Not if, because it's more when, because it's just going to happen. When that first Met drought happens, and I don't mean like the old Mets, like where there's 9 years of futility. I don't mean that, but when it's just less than what people expect, the way David Stearns speaks and the way he presents things is going to drive people nuts. You know, I even heard the guys laughing about it this morning. Jerry was playing some stuff in the update. Like, you know, kind of booing with the Lane stuff. I forget the exact verbiage, but it's like, dude, you know, yeah, I don't think you're ever going to get like that rawness. And I don't mean like a maniac. That's certainly not his style. That rawness, that realness, that presentation, you know, when as a fan you want to pound the flesh, and we've all been there with our teams, and eventually you'll be there again as a Met fan, just like I'll be there as a Yankee fan. I'm a little bit there today, you know, but he's not that delivery is, I think, going to piss you off more when it's lean. We'll see. All right, let me get Steve up in Connecticut on the fan, BT and Sal. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, BT, what's up, brother?
I'm good, dude. What's happening?
Good. My point on Volpe, but real quick on Boone, this is obviously, we've been saying it forever, it's what the Yanks signed up for when they let Joe go. So coddle the players, pump them up, apologize for them. So, and when stuff gets rough, that's when it really irritates us.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Me and my kids will watch a post game only to see who Boone is, you know, is playing up to tonight, who he's covering up. The guy goes 0 for 4, 4 Ks. And he had a good approach, actually. So I don't know why we watch it. It just irritates us more.
Well, but here's the one thing, though. You got to get that. Like, you just talk to us. You know, we know what we're watching. And that's one of my themes today. The accountability's got to be more transparent. But think about this, Steve. You mentioned Girardi, all right? I mean, Joe's doing some TV. It's not like Joe's so amazing where there's three or four teams knocking down his door. You know?
Right. No, I'm not.
So it's all, I just say that. I just say that, Steve. I just say that. It's always easy to romanticize what was. And I was a Girardi fan. Not over the top, insane, crazy fan, but certainly a supporter. And the old school nature that kind of vibes with how I am. But the guy was far from perfect. And that's all I'm saying. Let's not misremember what bothered us about him.
I know. Yeah. With Volpe, I feel like in the beginning, I was like, I feel like he's a victim of expectations, pumped up expectations. But now, I mean, it's been 3 years now. And the things he does well, BT, I think you'd agree. Like, he goes yard. And when he does, I don't get that pumped up. I'm like, all right, whatever. Because I know the next three at-bats, he's swinging from his heels again.
Yeah.
I think what we think he should be is shorten the swing a bit, gap the bat, line drives, uses wheels, but he's never on base, strikes out a ton. And what he does well, what he does well is contrary to, I think, his sustainable success.
I think that's an outstanding point. I think that's you nailed a lot there, Steve. You're right. It's funny, when he goes yard, I'm happy for him because I'm rooting for him. But from a conviction perspective, I never feel like, all right, here we go. Now you give me a couple of doubles, you go 3 for 5, you know, whistle a few the other way in the right center gap, steal a couple of bases, you know, catch it. That's what excites me about Volpe, because that's the player he should be. You know, if you ask me, you know, and it is year three. So, like, by year five or, whatever the ceiling is, and that's, I don't know what it is. I don't. Anthony Volpe should be, I would say, about a 270-ish, you know, low 270s. You know, maybe a year or two, sniff 280 with 35 doubles. And he's going to actually get there this year. 40 steals and an OPS of about, you know, 750, 760, catch it, run, 40 swipes. And if you're on base that much, if you're hitting 270, you're going to get 40 steals. So, that you really nailed it there, Steve. The home runs, again, especially if it's, you know, in a meaningful spot in the game, I'm like, there you go. And I'm just happy for him. So I really am sincerely rooting for him. But it doesn't do anything to make me feel good about, all right, here we go. It's the beginning of a hot streak. Here we go. He's turning the corner. Very interesting observation. I feel you on that. You know, you've heard this expression a long time. You know, you're either hurt or you're injured. You know, which one is it? Obviously, if you're injured, you really can't play. If you're hurt, you can kind of grind through it and kind of see where you're at. I don't know what the story is with Lindor, but, I mean, you got to start wondering what's the option here in terms of maybe just giving him a little bit of time off his feet. I mean, he's in an 0-for-19 funk in his last 0-for-19. Hard. His last 15 days, he's batting .136. And the last 30 days, basically coinciding with the injury, hitting .190. And we're getting off to a good start. Now, a little deceiving because April was awesome, the exact opposite of what he usually does. But May was mid 250-ish, which is fine. He tailed down in June, and July has been an absolute disaster. And then not even to morph into this. Hoff, I need your opinion. I just need an answer. I'm going to set this up. Maybe because it happened with David Wright. Maybe because we've had so many different Francisco Lindor conversations. Francisco Lindor retires today. Because think about the conversations we've had about Francisco Lindor, especially with me on this station and on the show. Lindor retires tonight. Mets retire his number?
Yeah. Of course.
Wow, there's no chance they would do that.
Why?
Why would they?
Well, why wouldn't they?
I just don't think that. I don't think he's done enough.
You're saying today, but here's the thing. The reality is he's got at least seven more years.
I understand.
He's going to put up so many numbers that are just stupid. I mean, he's going to be the best shortstop ever to play the game for the Mets.
Yep.
He's going to have, again, you want to go down through just historically what the Mets are doing now. They're starting to highlight a lot of players.
Which is great.
Which is fantastic.
What I said about the right stuff.
Lindor is no doubt going to have his number retired.
But again, I think I'm with you. Oh, I'm definitely with you on like the totality of his Mets career. A lot of baseball to go. This is not. I'm not turning this into.
Right now, he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, yeah. I mean, either way. But I mean, think about this. I don't think. And again, you can't get separation from the reality of the fact that there's a lot of baseball to go. But I would ask myself. That's why I asked you. You're an actual Mets fan. Like, and I respect your opinion. I don't think he's done enough. Like now, I just wanted your first answer. Because he's in a real funk. I do think he's banged up. I do think the toe has obviously betrayed him here. He's obviously a whole hell of a lot better than this. And that's why I'm thinking maybe you sit him down for a couple of days. Because if you run him out there every day and it's just not Lindor, what are you really doing? Although I do respect his ability to grind and keep playing. But as great as he was, like last year was the great year for him. And we've had so many different discussions about his start to the Mets career. But I think there's two different answers. If he stepped away from the game today, the answer is no. For me. If, you know, as he continues to play, I think the answer becomes a definite yes. I'm just curious.
Can I ask you a question, though? Do you think that he's a Hall of Famer if he stepped away today?
If he stepped away today, I do want to take a quick look at one number here.
I'm pretty sure he's up there, or I think he should pass the most home runs.
My answer would be no.
I think he's the most home runs by a shortstop.
I did see that. He's got a ton. I mean, but here's the problem, Hoff. Again, if we're going to look at benchmarks and now this obviously includes the Guardians.
But yeah.
If you're looking at benchmarks, he's got 1,590 hits and 272. I mean, not at 1,590.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
As a shortstop, he may be the best shortstop ever that we've ever seen universally. What he does speed-wise, power-wise, defensively, he may be the best shortstop we've ever seen, especially right now in today's game. So I understand that, like, he doesn't do enough for certain people, but to me, he's done everything that you could ask for more. I know maybe he hasn't won a World Series, but that doesn't define you as a Hall of Famer. And again, he's got so many more years to go, which is why he's a no doubt about it.
No, I was just thinking, well, first of all, I mean, again,
and which is the point of, too, why they would retire his number. How are you going to retire some? How are you going to send somebody to the Hall of Fame and not retire his number?
Well, if most of the production was done with a different team, that's the short answer. But again, I'm not trying to turn that into this. I'm really not. I just find it interesting because, you know, with the right stuff on the heels of that. Now, did you just say that he is the greatest shortstop ever? You didn't just say that.
Universally could be.
What do you mean universally?
Oh, defensively and offensively.
What?
Yeah.
Stop.
Speed-wise, power-wise.
What?
Yeah. Yes. I just talked about his home run power. I think he's the I'm pretty sure, if not, or he's going to pass
he
it
is.
Soon.
I saw that stat a couple weeks ago, a month ago.
What are we laughing at? Like,
there's other elements of the game than just power.
I totally understand that.
He's not the greatest shortstop. I mean, that's Looneyville.
As I said, universally. I'm going to fight back with you. Universally, he's the best shortstop ever. Power-wise, defensively, speed-wise. There's other elements to the games. I know he's not Ozzie Smith and playing like Ozzie Smith, but he has that element to the game.
Was he Robin Yount, who has 3,000 hits? Was he Derek Jeter, or is it 312? He's got 3,500 hits. I mean, come on.
Don't talk to me about Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter was in an element. You want to
talk
about Derek Jeter? I'll tell you about Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter is the most overrated shortstop of all time.
What's that?
Derek Jeter is the most overrated shortstop of all time. And the reason why is because he's sitting there with a Yankees team where he was able to play 20-plus years surrounded by the best players of all time. Francisco Lindor, again, tell me the year that Derek Jeter was able to put up the speed numbers and the power numbers that Francisco Lindor did. Did he ever do that?
I am not going to compare Jeter and Lindor on the air.
I know you won't. But that's what we do here, don't we? We're in a bar.
You know
we're
actually
hanging with the boys.
A bartender, may I have a...
How many more years left is Francisco Lindor's career?
Hold on, I got to get a drink if we're going to do this. Hold on, bartender, sir, may I have
a... What are we getting,
a whiskey? Johnny Black on the rocks, please. Okay. I might need a double if we're going to have an
extra drink. I want an old-fashioned.
Is that your... Okay.
I'm going to have an old-fashioned.
We know Sal here, he'd be banging back his surf size. If Sal, he was... All right, so... I will engage for a moment. Wow, this is you're right. It is what we do. Who the hell knows where the turns come? I think it's loony, Phil. I just need you to pop up Lindor stats just for a minute. I will engage. I think this is honestly insane, but so insane that I actually do want to probe deeply into this. All right, so you asked me the year that Derek, you know, kind of either replicated with the speed, however you framed it. Now, just out of curiosity, let's start with a geeky number. What was Lindor's highest WAR in a single season?
Oh, yeah, that God, this is what you want to do. You want to listen to right away? A stat that was just created about 7 years ago.
No, it wasn't. Babe Ruth has WAR, man.
I know, but they're going back in history because they want to try to make it look good. All right, the highest WAR by Francisco
just
Lindor.
In a single, just out of curiosity, just a launching point here.
7.3,
and that was in 2018. Okay. So I've got it up, too. Just to make sure there's nothing misrepresented.
Oh,
and
my
eight.
God.
I'm just teasing. I'm just messing around. So Derek's high is 8. Now, what's the most bases that he ever stole?
Most bases he ever stole.
35?
31, 29.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jeter in 98, that was a good season, at the age of a young 24, hit 324 and stole 30 bases, huh?
Good for him. How many home runs did he hit that year?
19. He batted first, dude.
But Lindor last year batted 19, and he had, batted first last year and had 33 home runs.
Did he hit 324?
He batted 273, 29 stolen bases. Again, I'm talking about universal. Maybe you missed that part.
I don't know what you mean by universal. Why do you keep saying universal? What does that mean? All time?
All-encompassing numbers. It's not just about, like, I could say that Pete Alonso is the best power-hitting first baseman as a New York Met, right?
Yeah.
He's a power hitter. Sure. He's hitting home runs. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that what Lindor does overall, everything, he does everything well. So I think overall, he does everything better than any other shortstop. You can isolate certain shortstops and say, oh, this is the best defensive shortstop of all time. No doubt about it. Maybe Lindor doesn't surpass him of that, but he's right there neck and neck. He's power-wise, best. That no doubt, best ever. Speed-wise, he's definitely up there. He's got over 200 stolen bases.
Are we not counting A-Rod, just for clarity? Bark that in. I have another shot here, please. Thank you, buddy. Are we not counting Alex Rodriguez?
No, he's not.
Because of
his actual numbers. His power-wise, he went to third base.
No more?
He counted to who?
No more? With 350, 360? Are we not counting these guys?
Alex Rodriguez moved to third base. So
yeah,
you can't
after,
count
after
his
10 years,
right? Okay, but so his numbers were.
Well, that's again, why I ask you. So no way, Rod.
You can't because he moved to third base. Kyle Ripken moved to third base. Francisco Lindor is a shortstop.
Okay.
End of story.
What about Alan Trammell?
Again,
are we going to count him?
What did he do?
Number one, he won an MVP. Number two, he won a World Series, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Last year, Lindor got robbed because Shohei Ohtani does two things, which he only did one of them last year, which was offense.
Yeah, I think that this is nuts. I don't know how else to say it. I appreciate the pushback.
Yeah, but BT, you're also not understanding the fact that what Francisco Lindor does.
No, I understand. I just don't agree.
That's not at the all-time level.
Come on, huh? The all-time
you
level.
Think that, okay, honestly, you think that Alex Rodriguez is a better shortstop defensively than Francisco Lindor?
Now, before you jump on me, let me answer. The answer is probably no.
Okay.
Hold on. Probably no. But all the other elements are so far in favor of A-Rod. The defensive advantage that Lindor does probably have, although young A-Rod at short was insane, but just to keep this thing moving, is not nearly enough to elevate him over A-Rod, who blasted him in every other statistical category.
Crazy Yankee seasons, that was all third base.
Do you remember what he did with the Rangers, dude?
I remember with the Rangers. He signed a huge contract.
And then he said, get me out of here. I need another shot, sir. Alex Rodriguez, as a shortstop, I get it, hit 358.
That's great.
Oh, wait. You're talking about
BT, hold on.
42 home runs.
But BT, let me stop you right there. Stop with the batting average, because we've actually numbed down batting average so much. We know that batting average means nothing, and you want to know why it means nothing is because the game has completely changed, where we can't even get guys to bat 300 now.
Well, I could give you OPS. I just went for that. How about 51 home runs? How about 149 RBIs? How about 53 home runs? How about 57? As a shortstop.
Again, great. Power numbers were amazing. Can't sniff what he could do on the field. Can't sniff what he does defensively. I don't care that he doesn't get a gold glove. That's just because people are idiots and don't recognize. Listen, Anthony Volpe has won a gold glove before. The guy can't play shortstop. But we're going to sit there and talk about, Francisco Lindor, right, he hasn't won a gold glove.
Look, I got something for you here.
Go for it.
I don't know the answer, so I might not have something. I might have something.
I don't know
the
answers, period.
I just did the most basic, you're crazy, the most basic search. Now, it doesn't mean that it's right. But greatest shortstops of all time.
Sure.
I think that might be an interesting starting point. Maybe get us on an interesting road.
I think we're already there.
Yeah, well, true. Here's what pops up, man. You ready? I'm just going to blast through names because we don't have time to debate each one. Jeter, no order. Trammell, Ripken. I actually think Ripken's a little bit overrated. I've always said that. Honus Wagner, Ozzie Smith, A-Rod, Robin Yount, Barry Larkin, Ernie Banks, and then some old names I won't bore you with. More. Lindor's here. Let me tell you, they put him out there.
I love Ozzie Smith. You can't tell me that Ozzie Smith is even remotely close to Francisco Lindor offensively.
I'm not going to waste your time on that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Lindor does everything well.
I think Barry Larkin's better than Lindor.
No, he's not.
Oh, stop.
No, he's not. No, because his batting average is better. I can't buy into that.
He's got 9 silver sluggers, dude.
Okay.
He's got a championship.
But he
wasn't the pinch hitter. He was the main player on the team when they won the championship.
The teams that he was built around were amazing. Was he with part
of Big Red? He was the best player on the team.
With Big Red Machine?
Barry Larkin? Big Red Machine's 1974. Right. Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, Tony Perez. I mean, you're talking about
Larkin. I remember
the
90s.
Yeah, I mean, you missed it by 2 decades. All right, bartender, cut him off. Cut him off. No more for him. Cut him off. 888. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure this conversation will continue during the break. Lucky me, as he will walk in and feed me more Lindor stuff. I'm not Lindor hating. I'm not. But, God.
Now, time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Hoppy and I are still at the bar, by the way. Hop's going to take care of this. Yes. What you got there, buddy?
All right. So is true or false, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth, Francisco Lindor is the best shortstop ever?
Out of here. There's this guy here. I mean, and what do you think we were doing during the break? We're actually looking at numbers.
I was breaking down how wrong I was on certain stats, but at the end of the day,
yeah.
Francisco Lindor will end up with the most home runs as a shortstop. And that's,
I agree with that.
There's no doubt about that.
His numbers
will come down to.
we're getting right back into it. Yeah. Here's why I think you'll be right with that. Maybe the only thing you'll be right with that. Now, but Ernie Banks had 500 home runs. People forget a lot of those came as a first baseman.
Well, right. Alex Rodriguez had 696 home runs.
Dude, he's got almost 270 home runs. He's going to bang a lot of bombs. The other stuff was where I was like, bartender, hit me up, double time. What do you got, Hoffy?
All right. So listen, as people may have listened to last week, these questions are very similar. But since BT wasn't here, I really wanted to hear your answer. So
that's code for I don't fake doing extra work. I'm going to ask him the same question I asked Sal.
Listen, guys. All right. There's...
It's called
the bit on radio. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, BT. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Juan Soto will get more MVP votes than anyone other than Shohei Ohtani in the NL.
Juan Soto will get more MVP votes than anybody else. You know, it's funny, when I was on vacation for a week or so, I kind of unplugged. I checked social media just a little bit. So I haven't looked at the updated odds. He's kind of cold again, even though he got a big clutch hit last night. And you and I were talking about this during the break, and I heard Boomer say this, just as a quick aside. The ground ball that he hit, which was a massive hit, I thought that ball was like, you know, it was definitely like a 6 hopper. I'm like, I didn't get it very well. 108 miles an hour. I don't think I've ever been quite so deceived with an exit velo in my life. Like, I didn't think he hit that ball hard at all. I'm going to say nobody on the Mets. I thought there was a chance that Pete was going to do that. At this point, I don't. I don't think Pete will have more votes than him. Lindor's not this year. The Phillies. Let me see. The Dodgers. Betts has been horrendous this year. I'm going to say bald face truth. I don't say it with great confidence, but, you know, he's a good enough player and had a great month and will probably have another great month to put himself in position. I'll say bald-faced truth.
So, just an FYI, we did this last week, and the numbers have changed a bit.
Yeah.
But the top three are the same. Ohtani is minus 1449 right now for NL MVP odds. Pete Crow Armstrong is number two.
I forgot about him, damn it.
But he was like plus 500. I think he's plus 950
now. He's
got
a little chilly, yep.
Yeah, and Juan Soto's plus 2,500.
Do you know who's four? Just as a point of context.
Kyle Tucker's plus 5,500.
That's my guy. You know, I want a Tucker for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. You had Luis Gil, who hasn't thrown a pitch yet. Jeez.
And Pete Alonso sitting there at plus 6,000. So, but he's sitting there at number seven. So okay. It's interesting. So, okay.
No Braves. They stink. Olsen, even though he's really good. No, I got you.
All right. Ball face lie, ball face truth.
Yep.
I asked Sal last week, Sauce Gardner will sign a multi-year extension with the Jets. He did it the next day. Mm-hmm. So let's move forward with that.
Are you trying to say that you're prescient? That means the ability to kind of...
Actually, I was saying, no, because I didn't want them to sign a long-term contract with him. I think he needs to earn it a little bit more.
Go ahead.
So that goes to my next question. Ball-faced lie, ball-faced truth. Sauce Gardner will be first-team All-Pro this season.
That's a ball-faced truth. I had a lot of issues. I was calling him Soft Gardner. You know that. Like, I had a lot of issues with him last year. Now, I also think he's going to be deployed very differently. He's going to go against every top receiver. I'd be stunned if Aaron Glenn doesn't have him follow the number one target vertically every single week. I don't know why Robert Saleh didn't do it. It was so stupid. He was too glued to his defense and it just didn't show the instincts to deviate from it when he had a guy that you absolutely should deviate from that, you know, for. So I do think there's going to be much more hitting in Jets camp this summer, even though it's, you know, not like Tiki's training camps and it's still a little soft compared to back in the day. I think it's going to be aggressive, though. I think there's going to be pads popping. I think Sauce is going to get the message early. And now he's thin, okay? So he's never going to be a guy like Revis could bang you because Revis was thick and stout. I just think that his technique's going to be cleaned up a little bit. And I think that Glenn, who was also smallish, thicker, but short, was a good tackler. Ball-faced truth. I know he's got the talent. I think last year was the anomaly.
Interesting. Okay.
Do you agree?
No, I think that he was playing more the, I need to make sure that I'm healthy and I want to get paid. And I think if things go bad, and here's what I think that you and I a little bit disagree here. I don't know how good this Jets team's going to be.
No.
If they don't become a relevant team and things go bad again, I don't know how interested he is in playing football.
Well, but think about this. They were bad his first year when he was first team all pro.
Yeah, but it's his first year. Rookie, he's rookie trying year, to prove excited, some stuff. All this other stuff.
Yeah.
And last year, it got worse. Every year is getting worse. I mean,
finally, year two was still really good. I think that that's unfair to Sauce in this regard because kind of, let's be honest, what you're saying is you don't really trust his professionalism.
Oh, I don't.
It's kind of...
Yeah, I don't.
That's where I disagree. I think last year, now, if we see the same signs this year, then they gave the money to the wrong guy. I think at his core, he's incredibly motivated to be great.
Right, which is why I say prove me one more year. Like last year was an off year. Garrett Wilson in 3 years with a terrible quarterback every single year still put up 1,000 yards, actually had less targets last year and more receptions. Like, show me that you're relevant even when the team stinks. And last year it didn't do it for me, so I'm like, I'll give you the money, but go out there and perform.
Yeah, well, now you got to do it. I think it was more circumstantially driven. Again, not to exonerate him because you're a young kid and you start checking out, which he did. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to have a beast of a season. Well, I'm pumped to watch him. Any better.
Better, man.
Now this, you got the contract. You think I was hard on you last year. I don't know what you call him. I'll call you this year.
Call him his real name, Ahmad. Uh-huh. All right. Final one.
It's Ahmed, isn't it?
Ahmed, yeah. Sorry.
Come on, buddy.
Close. Hey, listen, we call him Sauce. I don't freaking know.
I know. It's funny. I've done that too. Yeah.
All right, final one. Now, listen, again, I have to adjust this a little bit because there was 66 games last week. Now it's only 60 games or 62 games. Anthony Volpe, ball-faced lie, ball-faced truth. Anthony Volpe will play 56 of the last 62 games at shortstop for the Yankees this year.
And that is the ball. That's a ball-faced truth. It shouldn't be. Like I said, if you guys just tuned in, free Odyssey app, check it out. I'll get back into this when we do the King Topic of the Day here. But There's no way. Now, you disagree. I'll give you a little space here to express yourself. There's no way I'm sending him to the minors. Zero chance. I don't think there's anybody who could take his place. I don't think it would be necessarily productive. I'm not doing that. But I would sit him for a couple days. And if it pops up again, I would sit him again for a day or two. There's no reason. He's not earned the right to be run out there every single day.
Where have we heard that before?
I know. It's always with the Yankees, too. He's not earned the right to be run out there every day during a pennant race right now. He's just not playing well enough here. I believe that they will. Hence, that's my answer, bold-faced truth.
Here's the reason why I would send Volpe down. First of all, I understand that his offense, you're still hoping that, like, the other day he ran into two home runs. Okay, mm-hmm. That's great. Is Peraza going to do that? No, probably not. But you want to know something? Right now, Volpe has turned, like, he
Peraza at one point, stinks.
But at one point in time, Volpe did have an OPS closer to 800. It's back to his normal 670. Mm-hmm. It's back to where he is.
Yep.
So, and his defense is putrid. It's losing them games. It's time to send him down. Give him the breather down there. Take pressure away. Make him work for it. How about that? You know, we talked about Francisco Alvarez going down, and I don't disagree that I needed to see something different from him. He worked on it, and he came back. And listen, it's just one game, small sample size, but at least he showed that, you know what, I'm going to do the work. Anthony Volpe was given that shortstop job. They took it away from Gleyber Torres, rightfully so, but given to Anthony Volpe with no competition. It reminds me of Mark Sanchez when Mark Brunell was the freaking backup quarterback. You know he's not taking a job.
This guy's fired up today.
You know he's not taking a job. Where's the competition? Bring somebody in to light a fire under his ass.
They're not going to this year. You can yell all you want. They're not going to do it.
Okay, but that's on them. That's on them. And when the Yankees fail, just remember that Anthony Volpe is lackadaisical at shortstop defensively. Offensive issues are his own thing. I can't sit there and talk about the offense. You know, are you going to really change his swing? Are you going to
try? Not midseason.
Exactly.
It's impossible.
At the very least, make him make plays defensively, and he's not doing that right now. And that's part of the reason why you sent Alvarez down, right? His framing wasn't good. His pitching, the way he was calling pitches wasn't as good. Let's bring it back down to readjust. Give him 20 days, give him 2 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not blindly defending him. They're not going to send him down. I mean, but then I'm looking at the numbers again, and I'm looking at them because I remember saying last year, like, how do you not get on base at least 30%, at least 32%? It's back under 300 on base percentage.
And here's the thing is, BT...
I know he's not playing well. They're just not going to send him down. But I'm with you. He's been really bad.
And I actually think the kid probably still can play in the bigs.
Yeah, I do.
He's 24 years old. We're not talking about a guy who's 27, 28 years old who's never figured it out. Like, he's had a 20-plus home run season already. So clearly he can find a way to run into one. He's just too young right now. He's not there yet. He's not Derek Jeter.
Well, no, we know that. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Not even Gleyber Torres at this point playing shortstop.
Well, which is amazing.
But think about that. Right now, he's not. I mean, Gleyber Torres, when he played short, he stung catchable, but he hit. He hit 212.
Right.
All right, B, thank you, Hoff. Good job there. BT and Sal here on the fan. Hoff dropping the questions. We'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. King topic of the day. Phones are hot. The Yankee mess. Stearns comments before the game last night. Be careful there, Stearns. There's a trap door, and I'll tell you why again a little later. And if you wanted to weigh in on the lunacy, I guess, of the Lindor cheater stuff, whatever, go for it. BT and Sal on the fan.